Come on, welcome them, church.
I guess it's better to be called a mentor than a cottonhead. I'm not ready for that yet. Although when I look in the mirror, I'm seeing more and more of it. How are we doing tonight, church? Are you excited? Are you on the edge of your seat, anticipating for God to say something really powerful to you tonight? And I heard this story about a guy who went into prayer, and he was talking to the Lord one night, and in his prayer time, he was really sincere, you know, really wanted to hear God, get some direction for his life. And so he said, Lord, how long is a minute for you? You know, we've all heard that verse, right, that says a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. So he says, how long is a minute for you, Lord? And the Lord says, about 500 years. He said, wow. So he just got praying, and he had some needs in his life. And so he said, hey, Lord, do you think that you can make me a millionaire? And he's just talking to the Lord like that. He said, you know, how long before you do that? The Lord said, in a minute. You'll get that after a while. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we can be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for the divine work of your Holy Spirit. We've already enjoyed you in worship. Father, I thank you that you're opening our hearts to receive you. Lord, I pray that tonight every one of us would make a supernatural advancement in your kingdom. Lord, we love you. We want to be more like you. But we can honestly say we're not satisfied with where we are right now in our walk with you and demonstrating your kingdom to the world. So, Holy Spirit, we surrender to you afresh tonight. We yield our lives to you, recognizing that this is the only place and the only way that our lives can represent you well. Thy will be done, Lord. Father, I humbly submit to you tonight and ask that your anointing would work through me and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. If you grab your Bibles, open with me to the book of Genesis. We're going to have to run a little bit. That just means go fast through some things for me. But I want to talk a little bit about tonight about two important words in my life. And I think that as we go along tonight, that they'll become important for you as well. I want to talk about identity a little bit. How many of you know identity is very important for us as Christians? In fact, I think many Christians have an identity issue. They don't really know who they are. They don't really understand the work of the cross. They can tell you the facts of what happened, but they don't really relate very well to the miracle that took place in their life through the work of the cross. So we'll try to touch just a little bit of that tonight. But I also want to talk about a word of interruption. How many of you have ever had an interruption in your life? You know, to be interrupted can be a really great thing if God is doing the interrupting. Right? In fact, I wrote down a definition for interruption. It means to cause to make a break in the continuity or uniformity of a course, a process, or a condition. To cause to make a break in the continuity or uniformity of a cause, a process, or a condition. If you were to look the word miracle up, the word miracle means an interruption into the natural course of things. And so we could call an interruption a miracle or a miracle an interruption. God wants to interrupt our lives. We're all on a journey. We're all going somewhere, but God wants to get our attention. Now, we know a lot of Bible characters that this happened to. One of them, I think of, is Moses. Moses had a divine interruption. In fact, he had more than one of them, but the one we know the best is the burning bush. Amen? Where God speaks to Moses from a bush that is on fire but not being consumed. And out of this interruption, he receives a divine plan from the Father for his life. A kingdom interruption is intended by God to set you moving in a new direction. When God interrupts your life, He wants something to shift for you so that you can begin to move in another direction. Noah had a divine interruption. How many of you know who Noah was? Who can tell me what he did? He built the ark. But, you know, could you imagine that conversation? Noah going out one morning just to talk to the Lord. And when he comes back and sits at breakfast with his family, he says, the Lord talked to me this morning and we're going to build an ark. And he's going to make it rain. They don't even know what rain is. It never rained up to that point in time. God watered the earth by the dew of the ground. He said, water is going to fall out of the sky and he's going to send animals two by two to us and we're going to save all these creatures. His family's probably going, what? But for him, this was a divine interruption. You know, they spent the next 100 years building this thing. I wonder how many of us could stay faithful to something God speaks to us about for 100 years. Usually when God speaks to us, if it isn't over in a week, we're already lost. You know, we just don't have the commitment to stay with it. I mean, they were being called names. You know, they had cut down trees. They have chainsaws. You know, they had to do it by axes, cut all these trees down. But after a while, it's like, you know, for 30 miles, the forest is cut down. They got to walk 30 miles to start cutting trees and haul them all back. Right? This takes a long time. The people in the town are ridiculing. But he had an interruption from God. Another one I think is powerful is Saul. How many of you know Saul had an interruption? He got knocked off his high horse. Right? And he receives this instruction from the Spirit of the Lord that I need you to do something for me. Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you fighting against what I'm trying to talk to you about? And God interrupts your life. I believe tonight God wants to interrupt some people's lives. You're sitting here, you're going your direction, you're doing your own thing, but I believe some of you are about to receive a divine interruption. Hallelujah. How many of you would appreciate that? I mean, I'm saying, Lord, interrupt my life anytime you want to. Right? Because I just want my life to be pleasing to you. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1 as we start this tonight. Genesis 1, verse number 26. Very familiar passage probably for most of us. We're reading about creation and what God is doing, you know, as the earth is being created. In verse number 26, he comes to man, he says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And I wrote in my Bible, including the creep. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. I'm just going to stop right there. God creates man in his image. But look what God does with this creation of man. He says, I will give man dominion over all the earth. If we looked up this word dominion, it's the same word we would use for proprietorship or ownership. It's like owning your own business. God says, I am going to give man dominion or authority over all the earth. I want you to think about that. God creates man as God, as a sovereign God. As a sovereign God, he says, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to anoint man to have authority over the earth. That's pretty powerful. A lot of times we think God has authority over the earth. Everything that's happening on the earth must be the perfect will of God. Well, according to this passage of Scripture, God gave authority to man. I've had people ask me through the years, why do things get so messed up? Why is there so much trouble on the earth? All the stuff that takes place is because as man walks farther away from God, they do more evil. Right? God gave man authority on the earth. Have you ever wondered, why do we even need to pray? You know, why doesn't God just do something? He needs a vessel that he can use to accomplish his will on the earth. Why? Because he anointed man. Now, we know this got interrupted somewhere, and if we had time, I'd really break down Genesis chapter 3 for us. We don't have time, but we see this interruption. God anoints man. Man is doing really great. He names all the animals. I mean, that had to be pretty powerful. You have to be pretty intelligent to name all the animals. Amen? I think, you know, when God created Adam, Adam was a pretty smart guy. I mean, God having a conversation with somebody, he's not going to just talk to somebody who goes, Right? God wants to talk to his creation. So God says, I'll just send all the animals by him. See what he calls them, and I'll agree with whatever he says. I think that's amazing. Anyway, that's another sermon. So this gets interrupted because Satan comes along and tempts God's creation, man. Man is told not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden because if he does, he will die. The day you eat of that tree, you will die. In fact, the original translation says that in dying, you will die. When you eat of that fruit, in dying, you will die.
It's important to us tonight because we recognize that this idea of death is often not the way we think about death. Often when we think of death, we think, boom, it's over, that's the end. But in Scripture, the word dying really means to be separated from. And so he says, in dying, you will die. If you eat of the fruit, in dying, you will die. What was God talking about? Now remember, man's created in the image of God. According to John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and he creates man after his image. Therefore, we understand man also is a spirit. And God says, when you eat that fruit, a death will take place or a separating will happen. So man becomes spiritually separated from God in dying and therefore dies. Sin now begins to flood the earth. Man is now separated from God, and God sets in motion the sacrificial laws through Moses. I remember the commandments, right? God sets these commandments in motion so humanity can have some kind of relationship with God again. Jesus now comes to the earth. The reason Jesus came, the primary reason, was to buy back or to redeem mankind. How many have ever redeemed a coupon? Right? What are you doing? You're redeeming a coupon to get something in return. Well, Jesus came to redeem mankind or to buy mankind back. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says the first Adam was flesh or a living soul. The second Adam was a living spirit. Jesus came to reverse the process of Genesis chapter 3 where mankind died or became separated from God. When Jesus died on the cross, what he purchased for us was a salvation or the miracle of the new birth in which our spirits become reconnected back to God. Hallelujah. That's a good place to say amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, whatever you say. That's a great place to say that. In John chapter 3, Jesus wasn't the one having a conversation. Yes, Jesus has a conversation with a man who says, hey, with Nicodemus, don't marvel that I say that you need to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen? So we see in that scripture verse, Jesus saying, you need to be born again. Don't be surprised by that. Don't marvel at that. Nicodemus says, well, what am I supposed to do? Climb back up in my mother's womb? Nicodemus only understood new birth from a physical sense. But Jesus was saying, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again, or spiritually, you must be birthed again. When you invite Jesus Christ into your life, the miracle or the interruption that happens in your life is you become birthed again, but now spiritually alive to God. Hallelujah. Spiritually right. Our sin is washed away, and we're made right with God. Jesus washes away your sin, everything that separates you from God, and he restores you back into a perfect relationship with God. In this relationship, we now get this wonderful opportunity, even as we are singing tonight, to come into his presence. To really know him. To know his voice. To have him lead us through life. To live for his purpose and his glory on this earth. It's no longer I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. And so I want us to get this picture now that man was created with authority, spiritually right with God. He lost this spiritual relationship with God. Jesus comes and restores us back into a relationship with God. Not everybody on the earth has this right relationship with God, but if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you spiritually have had your sin washed away, you are born again, and you are now in a perfect relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. In this relationship, God has a plan for your life. Our life is no longer our own. It's been bought with a price. Amen. God has a plan for your life. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. I'm having to chop off a couple verses here. Passages I'd like to look at, we'll get at them another time. But here in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse number 23, this verse gives us a glimpse again into our identity as Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In this passage of Scripture, we see again that God has created mankind in three unique pieces. According to this Scripture, He has created a spirit, soul, and body. How many of you have a body tonight? Right? We know you do. We can see you. All right? Now, not everybody likes their body, but they have what they have. Right? In fact, I think a lot of people don't like their bodies because there's some pretty big businesses out there making a lot of money, people trying to change their bodies. Why are they doing that? Because they identify to their flesh. Their flesh tells them who they are, what limitations they have, what abilities they have. The emotional structure of their life is all built around their flesh. This scripture that is being given to us is, "I'm praying that your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless unto the Lord's coming." Amen? It tells me it's possible that it's not preserved, but we are praying that it would be preserved. In other words, we can all slip away from God's plan. What I want you to recognize tonight is this Trinity that God has made us in. Just like Him, in His image, His likeness, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God has made us spirit, soul, and body. Now, most of the time when we relate to ourselves, the first thing we see is our body. That's how we think of ourselves. We often don't even think about our minds, which is where our will is. That's the soulish part of us, our mind. That's where you get to decide. In fact, we would discover through Scripture your mind is very, very important. Because with your mind, you can disagree with God or agree with God. Remember when Jesus went to His own hometown? The Bible says He wasn't able to do any great miracles there because they couldn't believe that He was the Son of God. With their mind, they rejected the idea that He was really the Messiah, and it limited what Jesus was able to do. I call that a force greater than God, doubt or unbelief. It stops God from achieving what He really wants to do. He needs us to have faith. Amen. And so, the soul is where that's located. I get to decide that. I decide whether I agree with what God says or I disagree. The other part we read is the spirit of man. Now, the spirit of man is very important. It is really the image of God that we are created in. We're like Him as a spiritual being. How many of you know you're going to live forever? Hallelujah. You're going to live forever. Hallelujah. You're going to live forever. Now, don't you think the part of you that lives forever ought to have greater recognition than the part of you, your flesh, which will pass away, return back to the dust of the ground? Don't you think we should give more attention to the part that's going to live forever? Amen. Hallelujah. So does God. And so what God does is He brings you into a perfect relationship with Him. And in this relationship, He says, "I want you to begin to change your identity." And so I want to take that step with you tonight. Rather than looking at ourselves as a physical being that has a soul and a spirit, I would like to look at ourselves in the order that we see in this scripture in Thessalonians. It says, your whole spirit, soul, and body. This is the way God looks at us. He says, "I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved." God looks at us that way because He is a spirit. And so what I'd like to challenge you to do tonight is look at yourself, first of all, as a spirit. In fact, I have a way to say this. I like to say it like this. I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a body. I am a spirit. The real me is spiritual. I'm going to live forever. God has interrupted my life and given me a revelation that I am now a child of God. And as a child of God, I'm right with Him. And He has a plan for my life to declare Him to the world. But I need to begin to see that. I need to begin to identify to that. I am, first of all, a spiritual being. You see, so much counseling, so much challenge that we face in this lifetime is because we have a stronger connection to our humanity than what we have to our spirit. We feel beat up in the flesh. Things have gone wrong. Things in the natural sense have hurt us. And so we're trying to repair those things. And what I'd like to suggest tonight is rather than just trying to repair those things, that we would bring those things under the submission of the Spirit of God in our lives. And that those things would no longer control us. God would now begin to lead us. The peace of God that surpasses all natural understanding would begin to flood my life. How many of you could use peace tonight? Right? Well, how's that going to happen? Because some natural things change? Well, if that's the way you get it, it might last for a day or a week or a month, but something else is going to happen. Right? And so the only way to get this peace of God that will just last forever is I need to identify to a different way. And that different way is the first part of me is a spiritual being. I am a spirit. Just say that with me. I am a spirit. I know you're not comfortable saying that, but you'll get there. Just say it with me again. I am a spirit. Go ahead. You can say it. I am a spirit. You are. I pray that your whole spirit, In a God-created way, I am a spiritual being. So, I am a spirit. My spirit is in relationship with God. When God speaks to me, how does God talk to me? Well, God wants to talk to us on a spiritual level. It's not often that God uses an audible voice in our natural ear to talk to us. One of the ways that God does it is He'll use His Bible, His Word, to speak to us. But when He does that, it's because suddenly on the inside I see something that I didn't see before. I read the Word of God and it comes alive to me. We call that revelation. That's the Spirit of God revealing or uncovering God's Word to you. It can only happen because you are spiritually aware. You're walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. I am a spiritual being. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you this week just to begin to say that. When you look in the mirror, say, that's not who I really identify to. I identify that I am a spiritual being in right relationship with God. I want to begin to listen at a spiritual level. Now, we do possess a soul. In fact, turn your Bible. We'll be closing with this verse tonight in Romans chapter 12. I'm believing for a divine interruption. You know what I learned with God? I mean, you read about all these guys, Moses, Noah, Saul, these guys that had divine interruptions. When that interruption happened initially, they struggled with it. Right? It was like, whoa, wait a minute. Because our humanity, our flesh wants to push against that. We're not sure if that's really God. What's really happening right now? What's going on? You ever been in a church service where you saw somebody fall down under the power of God? You know, and when you look at that through the eyes of your flesh, you say, wait a minute, what's happening? That's weird. I don't know if I like that. And our emotions kind of rise up against that. Every time an angel appeared to somebody in the Scripture and ministered to them, if there were other people around, those other people became frightened by the experience. Because this was a spiritual moment happening that was impacting their flesh, they didn't know what to do with it. But how many of you know God has a way of moving your flesh along? Amen? And so we have these encounters. So when God speaks to you, even when you're hearing this tonight, just to make that declaration, I am a spirit, your flesh might be warring against that a little bit, saying, wait a minute, that just sounds weird to me. That's good. That's good. That's all right. If we can find it in the Word of God, then we need to allow God to speak that to us. Amen? I am a spirit. Part two is I possess a soul. We said your soul is where your will and your emotions are. We could look at a number of scriptures tonight that teach us about what we're to do with our thought life. How many have ever heard the word meditate? What do we meditate on? We're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. Right? But if I could somehow just pop open your head tonight and take a look on the inside and see what you really meditate on, I'm pretty sure most of us aren't meditating on that. We're meditating on worldly things, on carnal things, on things that are hurting us, are contrary to the will of God. We're telling us ourselves how bad life is, or how come that person hurt me like that. And we start meditating on those things, and as a result, we're not embracing the Spirit of God. We are embracing the ideas of this earth, and really an anti-God or an anti-Christ spirit. And that thing wars against the Spirit of the Lord within us. Tonight I want to help all of us to begin to hear the voice of God a little bit more. I'm a spirit. I possess a soul. What do I need to do with that? Well, let's just read here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, we know we're talking to Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right, we talked about that. I have a body according to the Bible. This verse, what am I supposed to do with my body? I'm supposed to present it to the Lord as a what? A living sacrifice. We all know what a sacrifice is, right? Amen? They used to bring those to the priests in the Old Testament, a sacrifice. Well, here the New Testament says you bring your body as a living sacrifice. He didn't say kill it. He said, but bring it as a sacrifice to the Lord. Bring your body into a relationship with God in which it is submitting itself to the Spirit of God within you. Okay? That means my body's not in charge. Hallelujah. My body's not my boss. Now we know the new birth, spiritual new birth, is a miracle. God does that part. When you say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. I ask you to come into my life. However you prayed that simple prayer, a miracle happens spiritually. God cleanses you and you become a child of God. God works that miracle. But according to this verse, when it comes to your body, he said you have to present your body a living sacrifice. God can't do that part for you. How many of you know God isn't twisting anybody's arm to be in church tonight? Amen. If he was, there'd be a couple more people here. Right? So God doesn't force anybody. What he says is, you have to do that. You bring your body into submission. You make it a living sacrifice. You tell your body, you can't do that anymore. Hallelujah. One of the things God had to deal with me about in my life was I had a fear that I was going to die young. When I was young, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, my stomach, I had a pit in it all the time. I loved to go to sleep because some reason I had a fear that I was going to die really young in my life. When I went away to Bible school, I began to hear some teachings of the Word of God, and the Scriptures set me free from that fear, and I no longer just wanted to sleep or dealt with that pit in my stomach all the time. God set me free because now I knew the truth rather than a lie. But I would think about dying young all the time. Maybe there's a lie that's preoccupying, you know, your life. You're going to have to deal with it. Look at this next verse. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. These are powerful words. The word conformed means molded by outside pressure. Don't be molded by outside pressure, but be transformed. To be transformed means to be changed from the inside out. How many have ever seen a transformer? You ever seen the movies? Transformers? They used to have the toys out, right? Looks like a little truck, but you can unfold it and it's a robot, right? You see a transformer hanging on a pole for electric. What's that transformer doing? It's taking in certain amount of power and either decreasing it or increasing it as it comes into your home. Transform to means to be changed from the inside out. To be transformed is really a supernatural work, but how do we get there? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, everybody say prove, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. This is what God wants us to get. He said, spiritually, I'll take care of that. You call upon me, and I wash away your sin, you'll become my child. Physically, you present your body a sacrifice to me. Just bring it to me. Cause it to yield to my plans. Don't let it just run wild and do its own thing. It's no longer your master. Mentally, I want you to begin to renew the way that you think. Change the way that you are thinking. Stop thinking like the world and start thinking like God. Stop thinking over the thoughts your flesh gives you and start thinking over the thoughts your spirit gives to you. Hallelujah. No matter who you are tonight, no matter what you're facing in life, God has a plan for your life. You might be in one of the hardest places of your life. I know we have come through a very difficult time. But in that difficult time, He has been with us. And when we learn to listen to God over the emotions and over the physical moments, peace and joy would begin to come into our hearts again. Because we knew that God was up to something. We couldn't put it together in our minds. We couldn't put it together in our flesh. But we knew in our hearts, God is up to something. And so, Lord, I'm just going to begin to surrender to this thing that you're doing. I think the song we sang tonight was just so appropriate. I don't understand. It feels like chaos to me. But I know you're up to something. I have learned in my life that to discover what God is up to requires me to bring my flesh as a living sacrifice, to renew my mind to the way God thinks, and to be spiritually sensitive. I identify to being a spirit. I am a spirit. I possess a soul, and I live in a body. Over the years, I've learned to call my body my earth suit. Just like when our astronauts went to the moon, they had to put a special suit on to walk on the moon, didn't they? But how many of you know that suit didn't tell them what to do? Suit wasn't their boss. It was only wrapped around them so that they could live in that environment. God has wrapped our spirits with flesh so that we can live in this environment to show this world how amazing our God is. Hallelujah. Do not become so preoccupied with the things of this world, with your flesh, that you lose sight of who you really are. I am a spirit. I possess a soul, and I live in a body. Would you stand with me as we pray? And I'd like you just to say that with me as we close tonight, and then I'd like to pray for you, just so you can take it home and this week practice this idea. I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a body. Father, tonight I pray that this simple truth would begin to permeate our beings and that we would come to a greater revelation that we truly are the sons of God. Lord, you told us in the book of John chapter 1 that as many as receive you, to them gave you power to be called the sons of God. Lord, I thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, that no matter where we are at as individuals, you are with us, but not only with us, you are speaking to each of us and showing us a way to go. Lord, I pray tonight in Jesus' name for the courage to say yes to you and to follow you through this moment of challenge, recognizing, Lord, that you're at work within us. And ultimately, our lives will glorify you. Be exalted, Lord. Be exalted, Lord.
Father, I want to pray for these great people tonight. And if there are any of them struggling, maybe they feel like they don't know your voice, or maybe they have struggled and maybe feel like they've never known your voice. Maybe they have strongly identified to their humanity rather than to their spirit. Lord, I thank you for an interruption right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that as they walk out of the doors tonight, get back to their homes, Lord, that you would remind them that you said in your word that the Holy Spirit would bring things back to our remembrance. Holy Spirit, remind them tonight, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And Lord, when they face these moments, I thank you that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. And Lord, that they would begin to identify to the Spirit of the Lord within them. Lord, I thank you that you have made us more than conquerors through Christ. We have the strength to demonstrate your glory. So Lord, thank you that this is a time of interruption, a time of change in our lives. And we give you praise for it tonight. Hallelujah. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen. If you would like prayer tonight, we have some folks that will pray for you, and you're certainly invited to come forward. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We appreciate you coming. Be reminded, you are a spiritual being. Advance the kingdom. We'll see you Sunday.